are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Good afternoon, my friends. It is April 27th, 2026, a beautiful sunny day here in Philadelphia. A little nippy this morning, but we'll take that. And I'm so happy to see the sunshine today and to know spring has arrived, really. And I hope and pray no more heaters on, as I had my heater on this weekend. It was so cold. And I pray that I can stay on the air with you and that we don't have any technical problems this week. And so let us begin in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, we give you this very, very special program. We pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you protect the equipment, let it all work well, protect the lines, the towers, and Jesus, that all the right people who you want to hear the program will be with us in a very special way. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, and thanksgiving for the successful Wake Up America dinner yesterday. I thank you and praise you for that dinner, Lord Jesus, for all the people who attended. It was so wonderful. I particularly pray for all the prayer intentions of the people who asked for specific prayers yesterday. You came up to me and you asked for prayer, and trust me, I am praying for you. And I know Kathleen is praying for everyone in a very special way, and all the broadcasters, as a matter of fact. Very powerful, prayerful day. And I pray that it was financially successful, because there are only two fundraisers a year for this apostolate, the golf outing and Wake Up America dinner. So I pray that it was successful and that this radio apostolate will continue forever and ever until you call it home, Lord Jesus. We also pray for peace in the world, Lord Jesus. We pray all the ends of the earth, that the Holy Spirit descend upon all the war-torn areas, that there will be peace, that there will be reconciliation, that there will be unity, Jesus. And we pray in particular today for the victims of all the tornadoes that have been breaking out across the country, tornadoes and floods. Jesus, we pray, please protect the families, protect the homes. And Jesus, we ask that you take authority over the skies, the weather, and that no horrendous weather will hit our nation, and that Jesus, in the areas that are dry, particularly in the south that need rain, that you give them rain so there will not be additional fire hazards. And Heavenly Father, we offer this all up in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, yesterday, one of the listeners came up to me and said, I just love your stories. Actually, one of them, I was actually exiting the Wake Up America dinner, and she came up to me and she said, I just love that story. And the story happened to be a couple years old, but I want to repeat it because I learned yesterday that all of you love the teaching, but you also love the real life stories. And the story that this individual shared with me, I had forgotten about, and it was, I guess maybe 2.5 years ago, I was actually taking a nap, and the Lord awakened me and said, get to adoration right now. And I'm like, I am not getting up to go to adoration. I thought, I'm hearing things in my head. Well, it didn't stop. Get up and go to adoration. Well, there are a lot of adoration chapels around where I live and where I was staying, but I knew it was one adoration chapel in particular. So I obeyed because I knew it just wouldn't stop. It was like a tape recorder. So I got up, I drove to this chapel about 10 minutes away, and I walked in, and I really didn't know anyone, and there was one woman crying, and she needed prayer, and she recognized me from giving retreats, and so she goes, "I can't believe you're here. I just asked God to send someone for me to pray with," and I knew that command from the Lord to get up and to go to that chapel was to pray with this woman. I will never forget that, but I did forget it until yesterday, until someone reminded me of that story, and I thought, you know what, I have to share more of these God stories, because they're not God incidences in my life, they're God stories. So God willing, I will be sharing more and more with you as the Lord inspires me. So what is the topic today? Well, this was loud and clear today, my friends. Does God intend for you to suffer? Does God intend for you to suffer? Now, and I heard that over and over yesterday with people sharing their testimonies of individually as they were looking at the silent auction items. And, you know, does God intend for you to suffer? So many people wonder if God always intended for us to suffer. In other words, will we always have had the cross? Would that always have been part of our human experience? Now, how did suffering come about in the first place? Now, these questions arise especially when suffering or evil of some kind comes into a person's life. And when that happens, many people get angry at God, including me, or give up on him. They stay away from church and even deny God's existence. And when tragedies such as what happened on Saturday night in Washington, D.C. happen, or 9/11, or all the tornadoes take place, many people ask, could there really be a God who would allow this to happen? Now, we have to deal with this question because the problem of evil, as the philosophers call it, touches all of our lives. None of us are exempt from this. Now, why does evil even exist? Now, we know the story of the fallen angels. We know that story. Suffering did not originate with God and was not part of his plan. That's right. It didn't originate with God and wasn't part of his plan. Suffering traces back to our first parents through the first sin, original sin. And although many people deny or at least doubt the reality of original sin, it's real. It's real. Furthermore, as the Council of Trent stated, it is in each of us in a personal way. G.K. Chesterton used to say that you can deny that pouring water on somebody's head in baptism is going to do them any good in terms of solving their problems and those of the world, but you cannot deny that the world has a lot of problems. And all of us have to share them. If you don't believe in original sin, my friends, my dear listeners, just watch the news on TV. And you will be convinced that something is wrong with the world. It doesn't operate the way it should. It's getting worse, isn't it? This is the effect of original sin. This is the true effect, the lineage of original sin. Now, before the fall, Adam and Eve enjoyed many freedoms that we do not. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole story of Adam and Eve because you as a listener know the story of Adam and Eve. They were free from ignorance, and Adam, for example, would name all the animals because he understood the nature of each one. Now, Adam and Eve were free from suffering, experiencing neither pain nor sickness, and they were both free from death. They were immortal, both in body and soul. Now, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, and I cannot speak French, so please forgive me, had wonderful insight to the pre-fall state of our first parents, Adam and Eve. I think this is very important for us to know because we're really going to get into, is suffering intended for us? He noted that they were made in the image and likeness of God, and he said that this image is in all of us, because God created us with intelligence and free will. By our intelligence, he said, we can know God and others in a personal way. To complement our intelligence, the gift of free will, which was given to us, enables us to choose to love God and also to love others and even ourselves properly. Now, Saint Bernard called our ability to know and love God a capacity for God. This is important for you to remember, a capacity for God. So we say that we're made in the image of God because we have intelligence and free will. And as a result, we know God as God knows us, and we can love God as God loves us. And the other creatures in the world around us cannot do that. Oh, they love and honor God according to their nature by just being what they are. But we are humans. Through the image of intelligence and free will, we can do so in a personal way. So Saint Bernard also explained our likeness to God. Now we're working our way up to suffering. He also said that after original sin, we've kept the image of God since we still have knowledge and love. However, think about this. These are imperfect. It was all distorted by original sin and clouded by our ignorance. But we question God, don't we? His laws and his ways. Original sin has also distorted our love. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas, one of my favorites, writes about the wound of malice in the will. We're working up to this suffering. This means that although we can love God, and we say we do, we don't always choose what is right. Does this sound familiar? Many distorted aspects of self-love lead us to rebel against God. So St. Bernard taught us that we kept the image of God but lost the likeness to him. This is what's happening on TV, in social media, in our world. And as a result of losing our freedoms, he said we were exiled into a land of unlikeness. My friends, this is the world situation we have now. It is not the original likeness to God that God intended from the beginning of time. Now, I'm going to go a little further and end. Is suffering related to our own personal sins? Do you think suffering is related to our own personal sins? I want you to answer that fairly. Answer it out loud. Now, do the personal sins that we commit each day bring suffering upon us? The answer is not all that clear, my friends. Scripture answers with a yes and a no. Now, remember Job? How many of us have Job experiences? Job was an innocent man, although he probably had his faults like all of us, since even the just man falls 7 times a day. But he certainly was tested, wasn't he, when God allowed Satan to harm him and his family. All his children died. His sheep and his cattle were taken away from him. But despite his bitter sufferings, Job did not curse God. Wow, is that a lesson? Despite all his sufferings, he did not curse God. Then God allowed Satan to harm Job himself, and severe boils erupted all over his body. Do you know that? And still Job was faithful, and he responded with trusting surrender to God's will. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's from Job 1, verse 21. Look it up. Listen, Job had not sinned, but he suffered. Scripture offers examples of personal sin bringing punishment upon the people, as when God immediately punished Korah. Korah. And their clans when they rebelled against Moses in the desert. Now, look that up in Numbers 16, verses 23 to 33. Now, in the New Testament, which most of us are familiar with, sometimes Jesus related suffering to sin. Sometimes. Now, the Gospel of John recounts the story of the paralyzed man, you know that story, who remained with other persons with various infirmities at the side of a pool that had healing properties. And when the water in this pool stirred, and it was thought to be moved by an angel, the first one who entered would be healed. And this man, having no one to help him, had been lying there waiting. Are you ready? 38 years. This man had been lying there for 38 years. Jesus healed him, but gave him a warning. Are you ready for the warning? This is from the sacred scriptures. Sin no more, that nothing worse befall you. That's from John 5, verse 14. Now, it seems really obvious, doesn't it, that Jesus related that man's suffering in certain sinful deeds he has done. On another occasion, some friends carried a paralyzed man to a house where Jesus was. Now, we know that story. And there was such a crowd that they couldn't get near him. So they hoisted the man up on the roof, pulled off the clay tiles, and lowered him down. Now, they were determined to get this man to Jesus, who was impressed with their persistence. They were persistent and good friends. The gospel account says that Jesus saw their faithfulness, Jesus actually saw their faith, not his faith. The faith of the paralyzed man, as we may expect. Now, even though this man's paralysis was really obvious, he couldn't move. Jesus didn't say, first thing, I'm going to heal you. Now, after being at the Wake Up America dinner yesterday, I shared some of my testimony with some individuals. So many times, Jesus didn't say to me, I'm going to heal you. It's the same in the scriptures. He says, my son, your sins are forgiven. That's from Mark 2, verse 5. Jesus finds the man's sins, not his paralysis, the most striking part of this encounter. Now, how many times have we talked about the need for spiritual healing? It's the most important spiritual healing. The lack of forgiveness that's in your heart, the lack of repentance that's blocking your physical healing. Why did Jesus have to forgive his sins? The man didn't acknowledge them, although maybe in his heart he did. And no doubt he was aware of the wrongs he had done and was in a hurry. And he was sorry for them. Now, Jesus must have read that sorrow in his heart, and he forgave him. Now, I want you to think, could these unforgiven sins have been an obstacle to his healing? What do you think? Maybe. Maybe they were also the cause of his suffering. Now, we're working up to, does God intend for you to suffer? Stay with me, because it's not a quick answer. When Jesus forgives the man, the scribes condemn him in their thoughts, accusing him of blasphemy, since only God can forgive sin. Jesus read their thoughts and said, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your pallet and walk? Of course, we all know it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, isn't it? Because you can't prove it. Only God would know for sure. So Jesus said, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on this earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise up, take up your pallet, and go home. And the man immediately came up. He picked up his mat and walked out. In this case, the Lord seems to connect the sins of this man with his paralysis. Now, apart from anything, common sense tells us that the things we do will bring sad results. Persons who drink to excess, and I had a lovely chat with Father Doug McKay yesterday about the Matt Talbot retreats in Calix Society, C-A-L-I-X, about what's happening at Malvern Retreat with the Matt Talbot groups and healing from men and women who have been drinking drugs to excess or use recreational drugs like vaping, my friend, like vaping and marijuana, may later suffer negative effects in their life and health. Yeah. I want you to hear that. If you're listening and you think your daughter or grandson is vaping, you're going to get popcorn. They can die. I know that directly from the main hospital in Philadelphia who's treating teenagers who are dying from popcorn. Vaping is not innocent. It's as bad as drinking. And thank God we have priests like Father Doug McKay and people like Ken Johnson who are addressing this But we, the listeners, the families, need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to be catechized. We need to understand what's going on around us and not be oblivious. Now, infidelity and abortion bring anguish, guilt, and shame. Well, we know that from Rachel's Vineyard, From Grief to Grace, with Dr. Teresa Burke. People blame God for sufferings they brought on themselves through their own irresponsible behavior. That's right. And sometimes God does allow us to suffer punishment in this life for our sins. Now, Father Andrew Apostoli once said in a retreat that he lived with an old friar who used to say, God doesn't only pay on weekends. Sufferings do come to turn us from our sins or to cleanse us of sins after effects such as self-love. It's a little bit of purgatory on earth, Father Andrew Apostoli would say. It's like a little bit of purgatory on earth. But what about suffering that comes about as a result of an accident or violence? Now, in the Gospel of Luke, some people told Jesus about a situation in which Pilate coolly killed some Jews and mingled their blood with the sacrifice they were offering. Now, in reply, if you remember, Jesus brought up an incident in which a tower fell on 18 people and killed them. And he said, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, Jesus' point, dear listeners, is that suffering that is the result of accidents, natural disasters, human violence, and the like should be seen as a warning to refrain from sin in our own lives. And finally, although Jesus sometimes relates suffering to personal sin, at other times he clearly does not. Now, we all know the classic example of this is the case of a man born blind. And when the disciples saw this man, they asked our Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And the Pharisee actually taught that a person could sin in the womb. They concluded that those born with infirmities or sickness probably sinned before birth and were now being punished. Can you imagine? Or maybe their parents sinned, and God punished them with infirmity in their child. And Jesus answered lovingly, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. It's a gift. God will use all suffering as he uses all other things for his honor and his glory. And we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God. We all love that scripture, don't we? Romans 8:28. Now, our sufferings are meant to help us understand the glory of God. And yesterday I met so many people who are suffering, particularly his mercy. Jesus told St. Faustina, whom he called his apostle and the secretary of his divine mercy, to copy down everything he told her, because he wanted a vast throng for all eternity, praising him for his mercy. Now, one of the reasons God permits suffering and difficulty is precisely so that we may turn to him and experience his mercy. St. Francis used to say that before the fall of Adam and Eve, God gave us everything out of pure love. And after the fall of Adam and Eve, by which we made ourselves unworthy of that love, God gave us everything out of his mercy. You see, mercy can be defined as love given to someone undeserving of that love. In heaven, we will praise both his love and his mercy for all eternity. All eternity. The wisdom of God can be seen in this mercy, my friend. It can be seen in this mercy. See, again, I'm going back to, does God intend for you, the dear listener, to suffer, or for me, the broadcaster? Does God intend for us to suffer? I'm taking you through the scriptural process. You'll have the answer at the end of the story. Now, there are two kinds of suffering that have relevance to sin in our personal lives. Write it down. There's preventative suffering and corrective suffering. I am praying for someone very close to me over the past 7-8 months. Ask the Lord, why are they suffering so much? And wouldn't you know, I opened up one of Kathleen's prophetic words in the silence of my heart. And he gave me, I don't have it in front of me today, this beautiful prophetic word about corrective suffering, about things were all out of whack, and that God was making them all come into a beautiful tapestry. So there is something called prophetic suffering, and then there's corrective suffering. Now, the corrective suffering is to bring you in line with Christ. Now, let's look at preventative suffering. What in the world is that? If you're hearing this for the first time, now, these sufferings happen by God's providence, intended by him to prevent us from falling into sin. Now, many of our disappointments in life fall into this category, don't they? Maybe we didn't get the job we wanted, we didn't get the house we wanted, or we failed to achieve the recognition we had hoped for, or we didn't marry the person we thought was the spouse of our dreams. So many disappointments come to us in the course of our lifetime, but all through it all, God's providence is at work. Now, even though disappointments can be very hard to bear, the Lord is guiding everything by his wisdom, and we need to trust it. I know in my heart that we have listeners today who are saying, I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I'm begging God for his mercy and his guidance. My daughter or my son, he is guiding everything by his wisdom, his providence, and his love for you. When we look back on many of our disappointments, write it down to me. Write them down. We sometimes can see them at work, and we sometimes end up thanking them. For example, I'm going to share this. I was once given a change of assignment that I didn't really want, and I was pretty happy where I'd been for years and years, and this new assignment had a number of problems, and I just didn't want to do it. I was working with someone, a consultant, I just didn't want to. I knew God didn't want me to do it. Well, by me saying, no, I can't do that, and I won't do that, God led me into a whole other direction. I just knew I shouldn't do it. Now, preventative suffering can occur in innumerable ways. Sometimes someone finds himself or herself tied down, taking care of an elderly parent, for example. Heard that yesterday. While someone else has children who demand a lot of loving attention and care. There are children, my daughter is a behavior analyst. He's worked with children with ADHD, with autism, with disabilities, and the suffering sometimes and the hardship with parents. She has shared with me over the years how demanding this is. On the other hand, some people seem able to get their merry way, seemingly without one care in the world. Now, I've been there. When I broke my legs, I'm thinking, yeah, people are paying tennis. They're down the shore. They're out for dinner, and I went through that oh, poor me phase. I go through that quite a bit. When you're down and out and you think other people are going their merry way and nothing's happening and they don't have a care in the world, they do have a care in the world. They do have a care in the world. But perhaps they don't appreciate what God is doing at the moment. We cannot always see the true value of our efforts and suffering until the final results are in. We're not going to see it. For example, the busy mother with young children will often reap the reward of adult children who love and care for her in her later years. That's true. You're busy, you're running them around, or you're cooking, and you're going to the parish, or you're teaching prep, and it's hard. So after the break, my friends, I ask you that you stay with me. I have so much more. We're going to be talking about corrective suffering And does God intend for you to suffer? So stay with me.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on WTMR 800 on the AM dial. I am so happy to be with you today. We're talking about, does God intend for you to suffer? We're going through a process. Towards the end of the program, I'm going to pray the Father Peter Rookie miracle prayer with all our listeners. But I ask that you stay with me, because right now we're going to get into corrective suffering. We talked about preventative suffering, and now we're talking about corrective suffering. Now, corrective suffering is meant by God to call us back from sin and to draw us closer to himself. Now, it consists of the trials God allows us in order to reawaken a person's faith and love. And as the old saying goes, and we all know that saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. If you haven't heard it before, you're hearing it for the first time. There are no atheists in foxholes. And when people face the ultimate realities and struggles, oh, and they can be so much today, they begin to think more seriously. God allows hard times for a reason. They're not just sitting out there on a clothesline and like, oh, they're hard times. He allows it for a reason. It's for corrective suffering. Now, St. Francis, for example, was captured after a battle. Did you know that? He was in prison for about a year. And then later on, he was sick for 6 months. St. Bonaventure tells us in his biography of St. Francis that adversity prepares us to receive, are you ready? The Holy Spirit. To receive the Holy Spirit. So after all the sufferings, St. Francis experienced a great conversion in which he received the Holy Spirit happen. It will happen for you. No matter who you are or what you're going through right now, if you ask the Lord to correct anything that needs to be corrected in your life, to have that repentant heart, that forgiving heart, to give you a heart of love and mercy, get ready for the great conversion in which you will receive the Holy Spirit. It happened to St. Francis. Now, many times people come to mature faith only when they face, don't they, the ultimate reality about life. We're not meant for this world alone. How often, I've heard this up to last week, teenagers live with the attitude that they're invincible. They're immortal. And have you noticed that when a teenager dies, the funeral parlor or the church is jammed with young people? They come and meet because it's incredible to think one of their own, someone their age, actually died. And sometimes God will permit that to happen because such suffering stirs people, especially the young, to think about the ultimate direction in their own lives. Now, even the good thief only came to this realization, my friends, as he faced death on the cross. It has been said that God and man are on a kind of a seesaw. Do you remember the seesaw growing up? I don't even know if they have seesaws in playgrounds anymore. I love them. You go up, you go down. But it's been said that God and man are on a seesaw. When man is down, God is up. Churches are filled in times of difficulty. But when everything is fine, man is up and God is down. And people neglect faith. We need to learn to love God regardless of whether we're in obvious need of his help or not. We should love him for his own sake and not just for our own sake. Now, I think and I hope that many of you have heard of Father Walter Chizek. They just took his case off the venerable platform, I think, last week or the week before. I was actually asked to do a documentary on him probably 20 years ago, and I learned all about him back then. But I just saw in the news, maybe Catholic news, probably a week or so ago, that they've taken his cause off the venerable platform, and I'm thinking, why would they do that? But Father Walter Chizek, he was an American Jesuit missionary in Eastern Europe. He spent 23 years in Soviet prisons and gulags. And his cause for canonization was opened, and he was named a servant of God, the first step forward in the process, and they stopped it. They did that with Archbishop Fulton Sheen, too, and it's been reopened. He wrote, Father Chizek wrote, that sometimes people become comfortable in their prosperity. How many of us heard that prosperity message? We hear that from some of the preachers on TV. And gradually take God's blessings for granted and then begin to forget them. Wow. I got that car loan. I got that new car. I booked a week at the shore. You're like, oh, things are going okay. I'm taking God's blessings for granted. And then you begin to forget them. God may send little trials to turn these people back to him. But sometimes, my friends, God has to turn their whole world upside down to get their attention. Yep. God just did that. He got our attention yesterday and Saturday night, didn't he? By turning our world upside down. 9/11 turned our world upside down. The churches were filled after 9/11. Sufferings are related to great evil. And when great evil exists, it'll eventually be destroyed. And I think you need to sit down and think about what's happening all around us. Vince Lombardi. Do you remember Vince Lombardi? If you're older, and if you're a sports fan, look him up. If you're younger, Vince Lombardi, he was a great football coach. He used to say, and I wrote this down on my booklet here, winning isn't the main thing, it's the only thing. Now, in the same way, we can say that our salvation isn't the main thing in life. It's the only thing that really matters. And after all, Jesus said that if you gain the whole world, but lose your soul, what have you gained in the end? Nothing. God is always calling his people back to himself. And God can deliver us no matter how far we are from him today. Even in the greatest sufferings and tragedy, God's love, mercy, and providence are always at work. I said last week, God is here. The Lord is here. He will triumph. Don't even doubt that for a second. Jesus is here. Now, as people progress in the spiritual life, and if you're listening, I hope that this broadcast helps you in some way. You'll experience an increasing desire to work and pray for the salvation of souls. Now, if you're in a nursing home, I know a couple of the listeners who are faithful listeners of this apostolate, are in nursing homes. I ask that you pray for the people in that nursing home, for the salvation of their souls, because many people have no family at all. No one really cares. Or you're left alone and you're suffering and there isn't anyone to care for you. Pray. I'm asking you, our listeners, to pray for them today and maybe to seek out and find that one person that needs your help. We have to question whether or not real growth is taking place in our spiritual lives today. Why? Because you cannot love Christ more without loving those for whom he gave his life. Suffering can play a part in this redeeming work. Now, I know that you, our listeners, love St. Teresa of Lisieux. In her autobiography, The Story of a Soul, she spoke of her life as being divided into three periods. She called the first period the joyful mystery. I don't know where you're at today. You may be there. A time filled with close family, love, and pleasant memories. And this lasted until her mother died when she was only 4 and a half years old. She called the second period the sorrowful mysteries because with the death of her mother, Therese entered a time of great depression that lasted, now wait till you hear this, 10 years. She was really sensitive and easily gave way to tears of hurt. And this period drew to a close after midnight mass one Christmas when she received what she called her Christmas miracle. Now, it doesn't have to be Christmas. Maybe we all need to know and come tonight for a Christmas miracle. We're asking for an April miracle. I'm believing for all of those who asked for prayer yesterday, or even today, if you weren't at the Wake Up America dinner, I'm praying for an April miracle. According to the custom for French children, Therese had left her shoes out to be filled with candy and little gifts. And she returned from Mass and opened those presents. Her father was so annoyed to see her shoes there. He felt that little Therese, nearly 14, was too old for this. So Therese headed up the stairs to put her coat away. And her father turned to Celine, Therese's sister, and said with irritation, "I hope this is the last year that Therese does it." He didn't realize that Therese could hear him. But Celine, standing at the bottom of the steps, looked up at her sister and expected to see a flood of tears. But as Therese said later, Jesus changed her heart in an instant. And she simply walked back to her room, composed herself, and went down and joined her family as if nothing had happened. Therese revealed later that her depression completely lifted then and there. And that's why she referred to the incident as her Christmas miracle. And when she entered Carmel, she took the title of the Child Jesus in commemoration of this momentous Christmas miracle. Therese referred to the rest of her life after the depression lifted in that Christmas as her glorious mysteries. If you're listening right now, are you looking for that Christmas miracle, for that glorious mystery to be unfolded? St. Therese said that when this sorrowful period ended, she was filled with an enormous desire to save souls for Jesus. Enormous. And displayed in each chapel, and I've shared this so many times, I love to share the story of the missionaries of charity. There's always a very large crucifix on the side of which are the words, "I thirst." St. Therese or St. Teresa of Calcutta, those of you who are listening who may not be Catholic may know her as Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She focused her spirituality on these words, "I thirst," that Jesus spoke as he hung on the cross. Mother Teresa's call for holiness centered on her desire to satisfy the thirst of Christ that she saw as both physical and spiritual. Jesus experienced his physical thirst even now in the least of his brothers and sisters. And we all know the scripture. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. The people in turn asked Jesus when they saw him hungry and he fed them, or thirsty and gave him something to drink. He says in reply, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these of my brethren, you did it for me." Now, Mother Teresa carried out her great works of compassion in order to satisfy the thirst of Christ in a physical way, through meeting the needs of the poor, the least of his brothers and sisters. But she also saw Jesus' thirst as a spiritual thirst, a longing to draw souls to himself. Jesus had said, "I, when I'm lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw all men to myself." We can see this thirst today for the souls in the following. We see it. All those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's getting worse, isn't it? The filth that's coming out of the mouths of our young generation. The filth that's coming out of our professors at universities. Do you think that Jesus would speak like this? Do you think that Jesus is loving and wanting these words spoken to people to incite hatred? For to love God is also to love one another. And the greatest love we can give to another is to be concerned for the person's salvation. Now, I've shared also with you, it came to light after Mother Teresa's death that she felt virtually no spiritual consolation during the 50 years of her ministry to the poorest of the poor. And her spiritual life was utterly dry. Now, we're all looking for that charismatic experience that all, it's normal. We want to feel good. We want to be uplifted. She lived her faith in spiritual dryness. You would never have known that if you knew her personally. Her trial of spiritual darkness caused her great interior anguish. She was always suffering. Yet she accepted the suffering with complete trust and even a spirit of cheerfulness. She persevered in pure love of God, and many souls were saved. Many souls were saved. And yesterday at the Wake Up America dinner, just heard, "Could you please pray for such and such?" The suffering of people who were smiling and who were there, who were anxious to be heard, to have their prayers heard. It was quite profound. Accepting the sufferings and hardships that come our way is the second form of redemptive suffering, my friends. And suffering will come even if it consists of being faithful to your vocation in life and your daily duties. Whether you're religious, whether you're married, you're single, you're widowed. You may have to get out of bed at 6 a.m. every day in order to get to work on time. Do you really like to do that? I don't think you do. If you call the boss and say, "I don't feel like coming into work today," he may say, "Well, you know what, you don't have to, because I just fired you." We have to be faithful to our task, my friends, despite the effort, because we want to be faithful to the commitments we have made to our family and others. Now, when things go wrong or not to our liking, as they usually do every day today, is when someone disappoints us, criticizes us, irritates us. Do we accept it with patience? Do we accept the suffering with patience and even resignation and abandonment to God regarding what he is permitting in our lives? If we do, we learn to trust that this little sacrifice offered to God is like a splinter of the cross that Jesus asked us to carry with him and for him. He'll unite it to his cross for the redemption of the world. This is why when we read the lives of the saints, and I encourage you to read the lives of the saints, we're amazed at the great suffering they endured for the salvation of souls. You'll be amazed. And I know, so so many young people don't even know this. We know Carlo Acutis. We know Carlo Acutis because you're hearing all the publicity on this. But do you know how many young people have no clue who have the saints on? We need to pray for conversion of sinners, our own sins in repentance. We need to pray. We need to share our story of conversion, or share our suffering with others. We need to share this. I remember speaking to Father Doug McKay yesterday as he was sharing his work in Kensington. And he has bullet holes in his door of where he lives. I said, Father, aren't you scared? Yes, of course I'm scared. But I need to be here to meet new people. I was so moved. And then he was taking a walk a year ago. I think it was a year ago. And a feral dog almost took off his shoulder, bit his shoulder, and did major damage to him. He stood yesterday and smiled that despite all his suffering, he still has the ability to reach out to those who are hurting. Because many of us have heard the term wounded healer. That's what the Lord is calling us to do. So if you're hurting and you're alone and your loved one's in a home or addicted to drugs or you're going through a divorce or you've lost a loved one to an accident or violence, ask the Lord to use you in some special way. I love this saying, the Father, I actually think this would be a great sweatshirt or t-shirt. Make your mess a message. Isn't that profound? He said, share that in Matt Talbot retreat this past weekend. He said, make your mess a message. So whatever your mess is today, make it your message. And yesterday I had the honor. It's an honor to be asked to pray for people. It's an honor to have prayers called into the radio station. And people say, can you please pray for so-and-so? Thank you for that great honor. Yes, I will pray. If you called into the station, I will pray into In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I will, because I know the power of prayer and the power of miracles. I know that personally. And yesterday someone said to me, I'm suffering from so much anxiety. My friends, I too suffer from that. And so I asked for Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who is my buddy, to intercede before God the Father for this person and her anxieties. And Saint Charbel, who is my new buddy in the past 6 months, Saint Charbel, powerful intercessor, to intercede as well. And so I ask all of you to pray to Fulton Sheen and to Saint Charbel, because Dr. Anton Raimondo was sharing the amount of stories and healings through Saint Charbel at our table yesterday. And I was astounded because Dr. Anton Raimondo is full of stories. What a gift to this network he is. What a gift. So, does God intend for you to suffer? Are you in the corrective suffering phase, the preventative suffering phase, or the redemptive suffering phase? Now, I'm going to read from Kathleen's In the Silence of My Heart, the prophetic word that he gave me before going on the air to share with you. I always pray, Lord, what is the word? And I know that someone in particular needs to hear this word. And boy, oh boy, I don't know who Stella is, but Stella, I don't know who you are, but your name keeps coming to me in the middle of the night, during the day, during this radio broadcast. I hope someday that you call in to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network and say, I'm Stella, because the Lord has placed your name on my heart. But this is a prophetic word from In the Silence of My Heart that sets up with everything that we shared today, my friends. I want to transform you, and I want to mold you more perfectly into my likeness and image. I want to shine my light into your darkness in those areas that you hide from everyone but me, because I know all and see all. But I tell you, I am the divine physician. I am the one I am. There's no other. I tell you today, this every day, this very evening, that I am pouring out my Holy Spirit anew. I'm shining my light into the deepest recesses of your heart. I see the pain, the helplessness, the suffering. I see all the gifts that I've given you, and many of these gifts are just lying dormant within you. But I want to guide you. I want to lead you. But first I must prepare your heart, your mind, and your spirit, so that when others see you, when others hear you, they will know that it is me moving in you, loving in you, being merciful through you, reaching out with a healing word, calming a spirit, bringing peace where there's turmoil. Allow me to be Lord over every area of your life. Do not trust in anything, any spirit. All else are deceivers. I alone am. I alone am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. I've come to set you free. I have come to mold you and transform you, not to be someone else, but I love you just the way you are. And so I want to tell you tonight to be all that you are called to be, all that you were created to be, my child. I want to refresh you because you've lost the joy of your salvation. You've grown weak and weary of the journey and suffering. I want to refresh you and renew you. I want to put zeal back in your heart. I want enthusiasm to well up within you and flow out to others so that they too will come and see, so that they too will come and follow me. And now, my friends, here is the Father Peter Rookie prayer, the miracle prayer. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. In your name, I forgive all others for what they've done against me. I renounce Satan, evil spirits, and all their works. I give you my entire self, Lord Jesus, now and forever. I'm going to say it again. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. In your name, I forgive all others for what they've done against me. I renounce Satan, evil spirits, and all their works. I give you my entire self, Lord Jesus, now and forever. Amen. My friends, this is the pathway to Jesus's heart, and that is repentance, prayer, loving others, and mercy, and calling upon the mercy of God. Do not be afraid, my friends. Do not be afraid of what you see in media, in social media, in TV. Do not be afraid. Stand tall. Increase your prayer life. Do not be afraid to be a Christian witness to God's mercy and power. We need this radio network more now than ever. And I remember Don Lettieri saying that well over a decade, two, three decades ago, and now Kathleen McCarthy. We need this radio network, and we need you to help spread the word that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you a command to serve him, to be with him. So, my friends, until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And know that in God's eyes, you are very special. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.